workers receive is something on the order of $15,900 a year. And now we have some hateful law in place that says all injured workers must learn to say, "Welcome to Walmart." Or, "Would you like fries with that?" "Oh, my back!" Can you find enough time in your busy day to drop a letter to the governor and tell him that this is hateful, that he was elected by working people and not the Workers' Compensation Division, and that screwing crippled workers is not exactly a traditional democratic value? Could you do that? Now, you're smart. I don't have to tell you. Find the website. Send him snail mail, send him email, phone calls, whatever. Call your local delegates. Call your local senators and tell them that this is not acceptable. But then again, you know, I'm sure the conservatives out there that hang on my every word think it'll just be fine to take away a destroyed workers' compensation and send him crawling off begging for a job from the Bentonville mob. This is the brutalizing of America. This is the hatefulizing of America. Because this is hateful conduct on the part of our state government. So if you're so inclined, make a phone call, drop an email, put a stamp on something, and let your legislators, your governor, know that you're paying attention. Is that okay? Can you do that, please? Go read the article. You have to go searching around for it online at wvgazette.com. But in the search block, if you'll just put in total disability, it'll take you right to the story. Ripping off 6,300 workers who are crippled was buried way back in the A section of the paper. While, remember, the front page had a story about $1 million nickel. Business-friendly and less people-friendly. There is some sort of nasty mindset sweeping this nation that says businesses are more important than humans. It's the same mindset that allows leaky dams to hold back billions of gallons of toxic goo over the heads of children, because businesses are more important than human beings. And yet somehow I suspect a lot of people, when they reach the end of their roads and days, will be laying on that deathbed if they still have a mind, and they will not be thinking, "Gosh, I wish I had supported more businesses." And those people who did that will die cold and sad and alone because they did not invest the value of their lives. Welcome to Walmart. This is Head On.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
when Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search
and there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where there,
when disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force
helping in tech and simply doing what needs to be done,
we are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338
or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
You really can save. Leader TruTrack blood glucose monitoring system only $19.99 and 50-count test strips only $23.99. This month only at participating stores. Compare and save, and you'll see why Leader is the place to go.
Leader, it's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now, today's health report. Watch that waistline. Being overweight doesn't necessarily make you unfit. Having fat around your belly does. Confused? According to new findings published in the Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, fitter men tend to have leaner guts regardless of how much they weigh. Researchers from Queen's University in Ontario measured aerobic fitness, body mass, and abdominal fat in nearly 400 men. Findings showed men with less belly fat had higher levels of aerobic fitness than men with more fat. Health experts say having more belly weight has also been linked to an increase in diabetes, heart disease, and other health problems. Doctors who want to give their patients a more comprehensive exam may want to measure waist circumference and aerobic strength in addition to obesity. This has been today's Health Report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location at the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. About 19 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. Yeah. Kind of muggy out there tonight. But it's better than the freezing blasted winds that were blowing through us last night. And they were cooking along, too. You know it when you're cruising along on the highway and you can actually feel the wind blowing against your car. Let's go to the phones. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm tired. We got some rain in Crab Orchard.
Oh, yeah?
And you mentioned the wind. Did it, after you left there, was it strong enough to blow my onions down flat?
I would say so, at least.
The Spanish onions?
I would say so.
I looked, it wasn't crunched or nothing, so you said it blowed your car, so it must have blowed against the house. And
well, maybe the house got in the way and saved your onions. Boy, don't you love a green onion, Jose?
Hey, I'd have to give you some Spanish onions. You never have to buy another onion.
Really?
They fall over and keep growing.
Oh, my goodness.
Never have to buy another green onion.
I'll tell you what.
Winter and summer they grow.
Really?
Yeah.
Some of those chopped up on a bowl of brown beans with some good cornbread. Whew.
Hey, that's soul food.
I'm hungry, man. I got to stop. I can't be talking about that.
Well, call down there and get them to deliver you something, bowl.
That'd be nice.
At Tudor World.
Well, I don't think they'll deliver it here, but I'll get something on the way home.
Yeah.
I like to make them at home myself, though. You know.
Did you hear that story about that bear in? It's either Alaska or Canada. Was 1,800 pounds, and as big as a wash tub, its head, and it had two people in it. It devoured.
Oh my goodness!
And a guy finally got it killed.
That's a monster.
It is.
Well, what? Yesterday or the day before, a deer got loose and broke a bunch of glass up at the Ruby Memorial Hospital in Morgantown.
I just got a little bit of it.
Yeah.
The largest black bear in West Virginia at Natural Resources is 800 pounds.
That's a whole bunch of bear still.
But there's 1,000 more pounds. It's a grizzly.
Yeah, a Kodiak grizzly, something like that. Yeah, those are huge.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have much of a chance with them. I'm glad your onions survived, though.
Well, they're doing good. I'll have to ship you some over there. Leave them out there in a jar or something by the door.
Well, that probably.
Are you on the second floor of that place? I ain't been up there in years.
Well, yeah, the studios are up on the second floor, but if you want to, the secretary will just hold them for me. You want to, I sure appreciate that.
Yeah, they're little, Spanish.
Yeah.
Onions.
Good ones.
Yeah, and I got the seed. You know, it grows up on top, and you take them home and plant them. You'll have onions.
All right, well, I'll do that.
And them onions is good. Thins our blood,
yeah.
Cleans it up, and everything. He mentioned about overweight, obesity there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see my belt buckle yet, but I'm a-sweating. I'm trying to get that belly off.
That's the thing to do. That'll keep you healthy. That was one of the reasons I was looking forward to talking to Morgan Spurlock last night, because his new book talks about, you know, what a fat nation we are.
Yeah.
And we've still got the same appetites our forefathers had when they were working, you know, 16 hours a day out in the fields, only we're sitting on our lard butts in a chair behind the computer.
Not sweating, Bob.
Right.
Sweating's the only way I can take weight off.
You got to have a little, yeah.
That's the truth. That's the only thing I can do is sweat. I can't stop eating.
Well,
I love to eat.
You know, it's more than feeding the machine, but the thing is, it's what you eat. But hopefully, I don't know, maybe we'll hear from him another day. Jose, always good to hear from you. You have yourself a great weekend, all right?
Jehovah bless.
And
be
you
careful.
As well. Sure will. Take care. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Yeah?
How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Getting along, I reckon.
I've got a little thing on tort reform for you.
Oh, yeah?
This is on CNN. You sound like you've had razor blades for dinner tonight.
Nah, not really. Just another day in Happy Valley.
Mm. Well, a man is suing. Now, this is on CNN headline news this afternoon around 3:30. But, and they did say West Virginia was the site of this, but a man is suing a construction company for $10 million. He was in a portalette.
Oh, yes.
Lit up a cigarette and apparently went to the moon.
Yeah, got blown up. Yeah, that was up in Monongalia County.
Now, I want to ask you something. They said also that there were methane pipes beneath the portalette. Now, portalettes are self-contained things, are they not?
Yes, they are.
Well, I don't understand the report.
Well, it was at a mine site of some sort, I do believe. And so natural gas methane wells.
So this was not coming from the portalette, but it was coming from the well around the portalette.
It may well have, because those portalettes are designed to neutralize that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're like
supposedly.
They're like chemical toilets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw that story the other day, and I remember talking about it. I guess last summer when it actually happened, because it sounds comical, but there's nothing funny about it. The guy was badly hurt.
Oh, there was a guy in Largo, Maryland, who was blown off of his toilet seat upstairs and through his window into a holly hedge.
Yeah, I remember that one as well.
And methane gas in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, I was just thinking of the term portalette. I think that could be a good term for usage of time, like, you know, when Rush Limbaugh and those people speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every 15 minutes would be considered a unit called a portalette. And 10 portalettes would equal one John. You know, that's just the way I was thinking of it, like,
yeah.
Units of nonsense.
Exactly. Well, that's pretty much what we're talking about, if you're talking about Rush.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I think it was back in, when Hitler, we used to talk about some of his subordinates, he was talking about a Goebbels of how much nonsense you could speak in 5 minutes. And he said 10 Goebbels equal one Goering. That's when he was upset with both of them. So it was not, I guess, I had a very happy crowd when it was springtime for Hitler and Eva when they romped at Berchtesgaden, was it?
Or the Eagle's Nest, or, yeah.
Well, springtime for Hitler and all of Germany, like the you know.
Yeah, the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were going on about the people who are losing their pensions?
Well, they will eventually.
By Safe Harbor.
Well, no. This isn't pension. This is workers' compensation. These are people who have had their health and their bodies ruined in heavy industry for the most part. And everybody who's been awarded a permanent total disability award in West Virginia workers' compensation since 1993 are going to have their benefits reviewed and quite possibly taken away. And that's just wrong.
Why?
Well, because it's injured people's fault that workers' compensation's in trouble.
Because workers' compensation thing, they're saying these people were erroneously awarded benefits?
No, they're not saying they were erroneously awarded. They just want to review them and take the benefits away. I mean, every single one of these PTD awards, the nature of the beast is such that every one of these is reviewed by the Supreme Court and passed upon.
Well, now, look, Bob, anytime you're in any kind of disability situation, you're subject to periodic review.
Well, I understand that with like federal Title II disability, that kind of thing.
I mean, that's pro forma.
But it's not something that's been pro forma in workers' compensation because there, as opposed to, say, Social Security, where it's a non-adversarial process, mm-hmm. Workers' compensation is adversarial. And it's litigated in front of the Office of Judges, it's litigated in front of the Appeal Board, and it's ultimately litigated in front of the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia, and it has been passed upon by duly constituted legal bodies and awarded.
And all these are state people?
Yeah.
They're not federal?
No.
They're not ALJs?
They're state ALJs.
Okay, the state equivalent of an administrative law
judge. Yeah, that's the the ALJs, the Office of Judges, for workers' compensation, and that's the so-called trial court, and then the courts of review are the appeal board and the Supreme Court of Appeals. It's like taking somebody who had a rear ender 10 years ago and was paid a certain amount of money for it, and it was litigated and it was decided and it was settled and it was over, and going back and say and having letting the insurance company go back and, oh, I better hush, they'll get that idea.
Try to recoup.
Well, we decided we didn't like that judgment, so we want to look at it again and take it away from you.
And all this is being driven by a shortage of funds in the workers' compensation.
But supposedly we fixed workers' comp with all these bonds that we're going to be paying for the next 30 years.
Yeah, but that hadn't been passed by, has it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's done.
Oh, that was done. Yeah. What, now, what is the next bond issue?
The next bond issue, Jim, is for pensions for
state retirees.
Yeah, teachers, state police, judges.
In other words, right now their whole retirement system is an unfunded liability.
Oh no! It's not an unfunded liability. There's already a plan in place that calls for certain amounts of our state tax revenue to go to fund these things over the course of years. But what we want, the governor wants to do is do away with that plan in favor of whipping out the credit card and borrowing a bunch of money.
As opposed to raising taxes?
No, as opposed to paying as we go.
Well, that would mean raising taxes, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. It just means there's a set plan and certain amounts of money go into that plan with every budget year. Now that amount of money goes up, so theoretically it could down the road indicate raising taxes, but right now it doesn't call for that.
Okay, my friend, gotta go.
All right, you take it easy, Jim. Have a good evening and a happy weekend. Later. All right, bottom of the hour break. When we come back, another fun West Virginia story out of the Kanawha County school system. It's just one of those that's going to make your night. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A former Logan County court bailiff who admitted he lied to the FBI two times during an investigation of a former magistrate has now been sentenced to 6 months in prison. John Wesley Nagy pleaded guilty in March in U.S. District Court to lying to a federal agent. He was also ordered Thursday to pay a $1,000 fine and serve 3 years supervised release when he's out of prison. Two Raleigh County men have been charged with ripping off money from Beckley soft drink machines. Teddy Gill and Cameron Jones of Coal City are charged with two felony counts of destruction of property, four misdemeanor counts of destruction of property, and six counts of petty larceny. The two are charged with stealing a total of $765 and damaging soft drink machines in the greater Beckley area. Gill is being held in the Southern Regional Jail on $25,000. Jones remains at large. Anyone with information on his whereabouts should call Beckley Police, 256-1708, or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. Base closure officials have changed their minds about not visiting the 130th Airlift Wing in Charleston. That, according to Senator Byrd, Byrd says he persuaded Anthony Principi, who's chairman of the Base Realignment and Closure Commission, commonly known as BRAC, that analysts should tour the West Virginia National Guard base before its C-130 airplanes are relocated. The proposal would strip the 130th of its 8 C-130s and transfer them to Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina as part of a national plan to close 33 major bases and downsize 29 others. While BRAC analysts will visit the facility in June, other bases have been toured by higher-level commissions, and Byrd is lobbying Principi and other commissioners to join that tour. Here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy, still a chance of showers. Chance of showers still around midnight tonight. Then it becomes a little foggy in some areas. Temperature's not quite as chilly. Low tonight near 56 to 60. And then for Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon, but much warmer tomorrow and more humid, too. Tomorrow's high near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Opposition to Walmart's labor practices continues to grow as a group of nuns in Quebec are pressuring the company to improve its public image and allow union organizing. The response of the nuns has sparked a chain reaction through clergy across North America. The Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops has now added its voice to a plan to urge shareholders at today's meeting in Arkansas to call on the company to ensure fair treatment of its employees. While the nuns support the rights of Walmart workers to organize, they are not working with any unions. They told the Toronto Globe and Mail that they are acting out of concern for human dignity and a worker's right to be treated fairly.
Northwest Airlines has called negotiations with its mechanics an impasse, and the union representing them is saying a strike is inevitable. The mechanics are represented by the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Organization, who say the airline has already hired nearly 400 replacement workers.
We haven't seen them, but they're in Northwest Computer System as being on payroll.
Ted Ludwig is president of Local 33. He says an informational picket is planned for June 9th at the main terminal in Minneapolis to inform flyers of Northwest actions.
They want to make the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association basically commit suicide. That's not part of a cost restructuring that they need.
The airline has lost nearly $3 billion since 2001 and is seeking to match the concessions other airlines, such as United, have demanded from their workers. The union plans to meet with lawyers next week to discuss how to proceed.
A complaint has been filed with the National Labor Relations Board concerning unfair labor practices at a Colorado storage company. The Service Employees International Union filed the complaint on behalf of the janitors at Storage Technology Corporation. The facility is run by the American Facilities Maintenance Group, who is accused of threatening the jobs of workers who wish to organize. The complaint alleges that the janitors were told they had to sign an anti-union petition or risk termination.
More than 1,000 workers at a Boeing plant in Wichita could lose their jobs this weekend. Onyx Corp is moving forward with plans to buy the plant. The company is also refusing to negotiate a contract with the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace. 800 mechanic jobs were cut in late May. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Smoking bans are becoming commonplace worldwide. Just this month, Sweden joined the expanding list, banning smoking in bars and restaurants. Kenya and Belgium both announced plans to enact bans in the next 2 years. Bangladesh, Cuba, and Italy all implemented some form of public ban earlier this year. In December of 2004, Bhutan became the first country to ban smoking in public and prohibit sales of tobacco. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage. Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, Friday night. And like I said, another great West Virginian kind of story. Lawsuit filed against the Kanawha County School Board. Lawyer for the plaintiff, Cynthia Evans. And basically what she alleges, there's a former Sissonville High School cheerleader. Lawsuit claims that the band teacher at Sissonville High School groped her last year. Yuck. Just yuck.
Mavis, better get in here. He's gonna do it again.
Yep. You know how these stories go. The alleged diddler, groper, the sexual predator, band teacher, drove student Stevie Baldwin, young lady, out of school for the rest of her senior year. He forced her to drop out of the cheerleading squad and made her a target of ridicule from students because the students said, "He's a cool teacher." And they made fun of her when he complained about her diddling and groping her. According to the young lady's lawyer, again, Cynthia Evans, he fondled her. He touched her inappropriately. He put his lips on her, made lewd and suggestive comments about his willingness to have sex with her.
Ugh.
Just ugh. The suit also says that the principal of Sissetville High School even made fun of the young lady when she tried to go forward. Anybody care to guess why women who are abused and beaten and raped and fondled and groped are hesitant to come forward? Principal McKinney made fun of her allegations by placing his hand on her shoulder and then taking it off real fast. He even harassed her at graduation a few days ago by handing her an invoice for her unused cheerleader uniform instead of her diploma. Here's the really sad and sick part of it. It's not this guy's first brush with the law in terms of kitty diddling. Her lawsuit also claims that the school officials in Kanawha and Roane counties let the guy teach even though he had made inappropriate comments to female students before. He was previously charged with sex crimes involving a minor while he was a teacher in Roane County. Acquitted of the charges. Became band director at Sissonville High School. But, of course, here's the fun part. He describes himself as a married father of one. Come on, wait for it. Wait for it. You know it's coming. And a Christian minister on his webpage. This guy has not been charged with a crime. He's only the school board has been sued over what he did to this young lady. Allegedly. That's right. This guy calls himself a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did he do? He fondled her, he touched her inappropriately, he put his lips on her, made lewd and suggestive comments about his willingness to sex with her. Married father of one and Christian minister. Now, question. Is there anyone out there who is willing to suggest that this guy, now he's a Christian minister, is kitty diddling? Is that okay as long as you say that, what, Jesus still loves you? Now, honey, you know Jesus wants you to have sex with it. Ooh, yuck! Suit is seeking $18 million.
Well, she's trying to win life's lottery.
Can you imagine a young woman, a senior in high school, what should be one of the most precious times in life, and she has her entire senior year in high school ruined by a guy, just a sick, twisted, malevolent individual who can't keep his hands off little girls? What should be done? Does this indicate the further need in the state for tort reform? Thick of tort reform. Study out, I'll try to find it here. Turns out Dartmouth has investigated rising medical malpractice claims. Guess what? When you apply science to the issue, well, looky, the insurance companies are a bunch of doggone liars. Study suggests insurers raise rates to make up for investment declines. New study by Dartmouth College researchers says that huge jury awards and financial settlements for injured patients have not caused the explosive increase in doctors' insurance premiums. Researchers say a more likely explanation for the escalation is that malpractice insurance companies have raised doctors' premiums to compensate for falling investment returns. Now, these were real live Ivy League, Dartmouth economists These weren't flax and shills from some disgusting AstroTurf group like Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. No, these are real people who know how to crunch real numbers and deal with real data. Not a bunch of flax directly paid for, just like West Virginia Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, directly funded and paid for by their masters in the insurance industry. Malpractice insurance premiums for internists, general surgeons, and obstetricians have skyrocketed since 2000, jumping 20 to 25% in 2002 alone. Not paying claims that's causing this, says one of the researchers, Bob Chandra. The simple explanation that comes to mind is the underwriting cycle. If they're making less money from the investment side of things, it's going to cause insurance companies to raise rates. No, it's the evil trial lawyers. Such simpletons we can be. Such simpletons our legislators can be. Giving away our constitutional rights to enter the open door of the courthouses of West Virginia in exchange for an $8 a month break on car insurance. We have this nasty little stereotypical image throughout the country, West Virginia does, of being ignorant, of being hillbillies. And we don't take kindly to it. But guess what? When we sell our rights away to an insurance company that has told nothing but lies and insists on the legislation, even though they won't let us have a look at their books, guess what? We earn the label. We earn the stereotype. Hey, look at West Virginia, bunch of dummies. They let an insurance company run right over them. What a bunch of suckers they must be. But it's okay. If some doctor butchers your loved one, well, you can sleep comfortably at night knowing that you're creating a pro-business climate in West Virginia. And the remark about the permanent total disability reviews for workers' comp. We had no idea we were voting for this. Like I said, Carrie Webster, the woman who said that, is a good friend of mine. I like her. I've known her for years. But you've got to ask the question, if the legislature didn't know that's what they were voting for, why did they vote for it? Why did they vote on it? How did it come to a vote on the floor? How did it get out of committee? Somebody has got to be sitting around reading the bills somewhere. Or not. I refer you to the sneaking in of the West Virginia has an official language, and the official language is English legislation, snuck in at the last moment. And the legislators complained, well, we didn't know that was in there. What do you do about that? Is it too much to ask the people that we send to Charleston to read the legislation that they're voting on? Or at least to hold that legislation up long enough to read it? Now, I'm sure the Republican Party is just chuckling about taking away permanent total disability from a bunch of crippled people. That's the way Republicans are. Because they think that, you know, businesses and corporations are more important than human beings. You know, hogs roll in mud. It's what they do. They can't help it. Republicans try to hurt crippled people and take things away from them that they've already earned and been given. Because we've got to make West Virginia more business friendly. So, there you have it. A kitty diddler with a history getting the Kanawha County School Board sued. High school principal who hands an invoice for an unused uniform to a sexual abuse victim. Turns out that all these claims of lawsuit abuse are nothing but a bunch of garbage that we were suckered into believing. And as an added bonus, we're going to take away crippled people's compensation that they earned. You see, as much as the Republicans would like to do so, there is no way that you can cast workers' compensation as some sort of welfare. It is earned. And a human being who has had their life ruined in the service of some company deserves to be paid out of the fund. And now we're just rewriting the rules in the middle of the game. Of course, in Paul Niden's article, Mr. Obrokta says that I'm sure that this will go to the Supreme Court and they will decide. Anybody ever wonder why Don Blankenship needed to buy himself a couple of Supreme Court justices? You ever wonder how many of these PTDs might be coming off of Massey's liabilities? Wouldn't it be nice for Don if he could get those people's permanent total disability awards taken away from them? Oh, that'd be real nice, wouldn't it? That'd just be charming. So Don needed him another Supreme Court justice to add to the one he'd already bought. Got Spike Maynard, who would rather eat dirt than write a ruling in favor of an injured worker. And he's bought himself little Brent Blankenship, or Benjamin. So he's got two votes in his pocket on a court of five. Now, we know that decent people like Joe Albright and Larry Starcher will vote against letting the state just willy-nilly take away people's benefits. We know that. We know that Spike Maynard and Brent Benjamin will vote to allow the state to take away benefits and clear the slate for dear Don Blankenship. Leaves Robin Davis, and that doesn't bode well, because she's not exactly been a friend of the working man. She has sided with Spike Maynard on a number of occasions. Here it comes, West Virginia, here it comes.
Yeah, but Bob, I know people that's gotten that workers' compensation, and they're out there mowing their grass.
Really? And they can walk and everything? I guess that means that to be permanently disabled, that there are some hard-hearted, sick individuals that think you've got to be laying there in an iron lung. Never mind the old, how we feel, mountain people are always free, and that we will bust our butts, no matter how sick, no matter how hurt, no matter how injured we are, we will bust our butts to have a life. And a guy who was making 55 grand a year before he got crippled on the company's time gets 15.9 now, and he has to mow his grass. The budget doesn't allow him to hire a landscaping company. So you're well, you're fat, you're happy. Get up, you go to work, you're able to get up and go to work. Guess what? There's no guarantee that's going to be that way forever. So before you start complaining, well, I seen him carrying his own groceries and him a-getting that worker's compensation. Before you let one of those nasty little bats fly out of your mouth, remember, there before the grace of God go I. And you know what? They'll try to take it away from you, just like they'll try to take it away from your neighbor. You better figure out which side you stand on. You better figure out if you're for the people or if you are for bidnit. You better figure out if flesh and blood and bones mean something to you, or if dividends and annual reports are more important. You must decide. This is the culling. We are in it. Of the wheat from the chaff. And will you be the pro-business chaff, or will you be the pro-human wheat? Will you be that which is thrown away, that which is waste, that which is worthless, or will you be that which is the staff of life? You choose. There is no room for weaseling in this. You are, as dear leader says, either with us or against us. And if you are a working person who brings home a wage, who works for a wage, who is paid by somebody else, and you stand with the business thugs, you are the worst kind of person. It's like a car I saw this afternoon on the way in. couple of old folks. Don't look like they got much. And you just sort of, and you know, you feel the brotherhood of man welling up in you. All that stupid liberal garbage. And then you get a little closer and you see that damned hateful bumper sticker on the car. Veterans for Bush. All that liberal claptrap just goes out the window because it's, you know, you've made your bed, honey. Emery, Eileen, you've made your bed. You lay in it. Because, you know, they look like normal, decent people. And then you see that Bush sticker and it's like, what the hell is wrong with you? That's how a liberal thinks about a Bush voter. You look normal. What are you, a pod person? We'll be back after the top of the hour news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Effect. Elena had little chance of ever walking until her family found help and hope at a Shriners hospital. Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old. Shriners combine expert orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. There's a Shriners hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
For the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One car travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one car does it all.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Showers and a slight chance of a thunderstorm through the overnight with a low eventually around 55. Mainly cloudy for tomorrow. It will be warmer, though, as we get up into the mid-70s with a light and variable wind. Sunday's weather, intervals of sun and clouds return with clouds more prolific during the day with a high of 76, and we'll hold in a chance of thunderstorms come Monday.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
There's a little piece that's banging around the internet. Don't know if you've run across it yet. I think BarkTop.com had it. I'm not sure if my buddies at WD-40 did. I got it from our pal Victor. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you. Listen carefully. See how many apply. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe the five corporations who own almost all of the media in the U.S. are liberal. Liberal. If you believe $300 billion of U.S. tax money allocated for the war and reconstruction in Iraq is actually going to Iraq. Suckers. If you believe, if you are unaware, Iraq had 650 million barrels of oil in reserve just before the war in Iraq. Did you know that? Of course you didn't. If you were unaware, at least $8.8 billion is known to be missing in Iraqi oil revenue from the period the U.S. was in control of Iraq. Yeah, we lost it. What do you want? If you're unaware, $198 million in Iraqi dollars is missing from the Iraq treasury from the period the U.S. was in control of Iraq. If you're unaware that war is exceptionally profitable for a small number of investors. If you believe Halliburton's no-bid contracts have nothing to do with former CEO, now Vice President, Dick Cheney. If you're unaware that the Iraq War is the biggest case of war profiteering in human history. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware the U.S. has killed more than 10,000 innocent women and children in Iraq with cluster bombs and depleted uranium munitions. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe Saddam Hussein or Iraq had anything to do with 9/11, Al-Qaeda, or Osama bin Laden. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe depleted uranium weapons are not really very radioactive or deadly weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, here that's a dandy. Tune into this. The depleted uranium that we use for our depleted uranium munitions and our depleted uranium armor, that uranium is just 12% less radioactive than nuclear weapons-grade uranium. It kills. Just sitting there, it kills. You may be, pay attention to this one, you may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe wealthy warmongers can also be true Christians. Or if you are unaware that stem cell research threatens the pharmaceutical industry by curing and preventing diseases which drug companies profit from by treating with their drugs after it's too late. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware the pharmaceutical industry is based entirely on treatment and is threatened by cures and prevention. You may be brainwashed by corporate media. This goes on and on and on. If you are unaware, the Food and Drug Administration does no testing of food or drugs. They only set guidelines and review the testing corporations do of their own products. If you are unaware, the Medicare Prescription Drug and Modernization Act has been re-estimated to cost the U.S. taxpayers $1.3 trillion, not the original $243 billion or the adjusted $400 billion that the Bush administration blatantly lied and put out there in front of Congress. And only pharmaceutical corporations and HMOs benefit from the increase. Hey! You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you, little known historical fact, if you are unaware the Boston Tea Party was a protest against corporate corruption in the form of the East India Company. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you're unaware our founding fathers intentionally made sure that corporations had no power over people or our government. If you are unaware that U.S., and of course, if you listen to this show, you're not unaware because we've talked about it. If you're unaware, U.S. corporations are now protected under the 14th Amendment as a legal person. Not just a legal person, an immortal person. You and me, we have our brief gaudy hour, as Jim likes to say. And then we shuffle off this mortal coil. But a corporation never dies. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware well-known U.S. corporate interests attempted a military coup against Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. If you're unaware, Enron and others were not investigated until they collapsed under the weight of their own greed. If you're unaware that Bush's massive tax cuts were invested overseas to build sweatshops, factories, and other facilities where our jobs have been outsourced. This comes from independent-media.tv. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware that free trade means slave wages to poor people in Honduras, Bangladesh, China, Malaysia, Burma, Cambodia, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Philippines, Thailand, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Nepal, El Salvador, Guatemala, Burma, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, and others. This is funny. You may be brainwashed by the corporate media if you believe America is hated all over the world because of our freedom and because we got home mortgages. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe the massive U.S. national debt Now, let's see, that's hundreds, thousands, millions. Now, our national debt, now $7,786,000,000,000, created by Republican presidents Reagan, Bush, and Bush, does not seriously threaten the future of our children and grandchildren. And that number just, that thing just climbs every second. If you're unaware that massive national debt ensures the expansion of poverty, which keeps wages low, which increases corporate profits. John Kepi was just telling me during the break that, Subway, was it? Yeah, Subway is canceling. You remember, you did a little sub-club card or whatever, and you got the little stamps, and then at some point it entitled you to a free sub. They've canceled that. And other restaurant chains are canceling their deals whereby they reward faithful customers. Screw you. Just get in here and spend your money. We knew you were going to come in anyway. Heck with you. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe the Michael Jackson trial deserved more news coverage than the genocide of 400,000 people in Darfur, Sudan. Yet, by the way, Dear Leader had a meeting with the president of South Africa the other day, and he said, "Of course, I know that what's going on in Darfur is that's a genocide. Colin Powell told me it was a genocide, and so it's a genocide. Now I'm concerned about Darfur. Really? Yeah, real concerned. Not going to disassemble to you about that. I'm concerned. How concerned? Real concerned. Real concerned, Mr. President. Real concerned. Concerned enough to spend money and actually do something? Not that concerned. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware that not funding No Child Left Behind is dismantling funding for schools in poor neighborhoods, which expands poverty, lowers wages, and increases, how about that, corporate profits. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware that the Healthy Forests Initiative has led to massive clear-cutting of prime lumber and almost none of the forest fire prevention that it was sold on. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you're unaware the Clear Skies Initiative has increased pollution. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware tort reform will absolve corporations of massive negligence liabilities for things like asbestos exposure, pollution, mercury poisoning, hello, Mr. Blankenship, hazardous waste, mad cow disease, and all sorts of dangerous products and practices. Now, here's one close to home for you. Chew on this one a little bit. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware that mercury pollution, mostly from coal-fired power plants and medical vaccines, has caused an epidemic of autism, attention deficit disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in the United States. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe global warming is a rumor or a conspiracy. You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you are unaware that global warming is causing colder weather because the melting ice caps are cooling the Gulf Stream.
That's junk. My friends, this is junk science. Take it from me. Flush Flimball. I wouldn't tell you. It's junk science. I can tell you that because I have a polandial cyst.
You may be brainwashed by corporate media if you believe that making a warmonger ambassador to the UN will help prevent more wars. You may be brainwashed by the corporate media if you are unaware that expanding equal rights to any segment of the population, including gay people, oddly enough, also expands economic opportunity and puts pressure on wages, which would reduce corporate profits. And finally, Todd Smith wrote this. Good work. If you believe Fox News is fair and balanced, you have been brainwashed by corporate-owned media. Time for a break. The phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. You know who I am.
You know. am an American soldier.
I am a soldier in the Army National Guard.
I am a warrior and a member of a team.
I live the Army values.
I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough.
I am the guardian of freedom.
And the American way of life.
I am an American soldier.
I am the Army National Guard.
Defend freedom. In the Army National Guard, you can. Visit 1-800-GO-GUARD.com today.
Sponsored by the West Virginia National Guard. Aired by the West Virginia Broadcasters Association and this station.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service. And we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
It's true. You really can save. But that's only one of the reasons why Leader's my favorite drugstore. I like the people. They're so friendly. They really want to help. And Leader accepts most major prescription plans.
Leader, it's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now, today's health report. Women and workouts. Short, simple workouts can help women lose weight and keep it off, say researchers from Baylor University in Texas. According to their research presented at the Experimental Biology meeting in Washington, short workouts could have major effects if done consistently. The team recently followed 160 overweight and inactive women, taking part in a commercial health and weight loss program known as CURBS. The program consisted of 30 low-calorie could get up to 2,600 calories a day and maintain their loss. Not only the all that, increased strength, big improvements, and find a location at the drugstore as you a Leader drugstore in the store.
Now, just so you'll know. Oh, now let's go to the phones. I don't like to keep people waiting. Kyle's with us.
Bob, I have given my last name on the air. I'm on the sports club every Wednesday night.
Yeah, sure, I know.
My name is given on that. My name is Kyle Lilly.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of that. I'm very proud of
that. No. I mean, you know, you come to the table and you don't hide behind anything, and you're you, and you know that's admirable.
Exactly. And you're the same way, and Dr. O'Brien's the same way, and so is Steve. I mean, everybody knows who you are, you know, and I've even told people on the air, you know, where I worked. We've had discussions about that.
Sure.
I've even told what kind of vehicle I drive.
Yeah.
And this gentleman called, was very rude, very obnoxious with my boss, wanted to know if I was the one that worked, that used to work on radio, that calls in on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And told her that I was a worthless piece of...
Beep.
There you go. And hung up on her.
Well,
I was listening the night back when you first went on, when you first started your program, and a gentleman honestly, actually threatened you.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough guts to ever call back again.
Oh, he did. He's called back. He's been several different people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty good at recognizing voices.
But I got a good idea who it was. But I'll tell you what, you know, that's pretty low. And this gentleman, and I use that term very loosely, has accused me of getting on the radio and making threats. And, that's just pretty low. I mean,
well, that is Kyle. I will agree with you.
I mean, Bob, you know something, Bob? I met Wayne. Man, what a wonderful man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know who you're talking about. He's a prince.
I met him when they were picketing out at Bar H.
Mm-hmm.
I was by there one day.
Yeah.
And I've been by there numerous times, and I told the lady with me, I said, you know what, after I drop you at work, I'm gonna stop by. And I stopped by, and I got out of I was in my cab.
Yeah.
And I got out of my cab, and I walked over, and I said, I want to meet Wayne. I said, who's Wayne? And the guy pointed him out, and he said, that fellow over there with a beard and a ball cap on. And, of course, you know, they were looking at me like, what's this deal here? And I walked up to him, and I said, Wayne? I said, do you know who I am? And he, of course, he said, I got a good idea who you are. I said, I'm Kyle. And I reached my hand out. I said, I just stopped to let you know not all of us conservative Republicans are anti-union and anti-labor. And shook his head, and we had the most wonderful conversation. We even talked about you.
Well, my ears didn't burn, so it couldn't have been too bad.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh, you wouldn't believe why he called you. No, you know better.
Yeah, I do, because he says it to my face.
You know, and I don't hide behind anything. I don't hide behind anything.
No, you don't. You don't. And that call that was made, I don't know who made it.
And this sweet lady, she refers to us. She's not much older than I am. But she refers to her drivers as her boys, as her sons. We call her and her husband Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
And they are good to us.
Sure.
They treat us, the whole company, not only these two people who are part owners in the company, but the entire company, the president, the vice president, everybody in the entire company treats us, you know, and we have our moments.
Sure.
You know, I was so mad today, I was ready to quit and walk out.
Well, Kyle,
I've got bills I got to pay, so I can't quite do that.
Yeah, I know. That really will calm a temper, won't it? But listen, I want to make it very clear. I don't believe in that kind of thing. We can disagree. We will disagree. And frankly, the way I've always done it, Kyle, is I say no quarter asked or given. And I think it's pretty obvious.
Well,
and that being the case, now if I say something outrageous, I expect and somebody doesn't like it, they're more than welcome to challenge me on this. And frankly, the callers, I think, know that too, that if you say something outrageous, you know, you're subject to being debated on it, and you're subject to having maybe ugly things said. But, you know, that's in the nature of spirited debate.
Exactly.
But whoever did that should not do that.
This lady and her, you know, she's a grandma. She loves her cats. I mean, this woman has mourned over the fact that she had to have one of her cats put to sleep.
Right.
You know, this is a sweet, nice, fine lady. I don't even know what her politics are. I do know that the president and vice president of the company, my politics and theirs are the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's not why. And I wouldn't, even if they were left-wing, out there liberal. You know, I wouldn't fear letting them know what my political beliefs are.
No, because
you know,
if they were left-wing out there liberal, they wouldn't do anything about it. They'd say, congratulations.
Exactly, and you know, that they're not, and you know, and that's not why, you know, I mean, I don't have to feel that I'm, have to have, you know, the company I work for agree with my politics before I can call in on the radio and express my politics.
No.
But, you know, it just upset me, and I don't know, you know, I made
whoever did that needs to not do that.
Exactly. And, you know, I made a joke the other day on Steve's program, and Jim commented on Dr. Bill's program, and I called in and talked to Dr. Bill, you know, and I told him, I said, I'm the one that made the joke, and I said that they should do something to help the economy. We can open a sheet factory in Beckley and name it the Sheets Bird Sheets Factory.
Yeah, that's pretty loathsome, Kyle. I really don't like that.
I mean, we're all game here. But for someone, and then not to identify themselves and hang up on this woman that all she did was answer the phone.
Oh, I know. But see, I'm sensitive to that, Kyle, because, you know, I don't talk about it a lot, but you don't know the number of people who have tried to intimidate the management of this station into getting me off the air. And they've used all kinds of leverage. And usually it's money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because these people don't like my opinion, therefore they want to shut me up. They want to directly attack my kids, my wife, our way of life.
Well, see, Bob,
yeah, so
when
I am
you do something like that, Bob, that means your argument is so weak that you can't back it up with fact, and you can't, you know, Bob, you and I have debated everything. I've talked to my pastor about you the other day. We were talking, you know, and he said, I tell you what, I like the way you handle it, you know, and he said, I can listen to, you know, Dr. O'Brien, he said, but I'll tell you what, he said, you know, I just... But he didn't attack you. He didn't attack you. He didn't, you know, I didn't attack you.
I understand.
And, you know.
Well, you know, but what I'm telling you, there are people who have. I mean, you heard it. It was the night of the primaries in May that guy threatened my life.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, some of that comes with the turf here, Kyle. But what was done with you was inappropriate, and frankly, you're absolutely right about what you said on that. But we have to deal with it. I have to deal with these kind of things, because you'd be surprised the number of people that think making monetary threats will shut me up.
Well, for that person, he knows who he is. For that person, you weren't man enough to give her your name. You haven't been man enough to approach me about it face to face. And, that was pretty low, but you didn't hurt my position at work any at all.
Well, I'm glad of that. Kyle, we got to take the bottom.
Okay, Barton. You have a great weekend,
my
friend.
You too. Bye now. All right. Let's see. A little news update from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's commentary. And then, let's see what teenagers in red states do when they get bored. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Kanawha County man is dead after jumping from the Gorge Bridge. Police were called to the scene after 1 o'clock yesterday morning when they received notice of an unoccupied vehicle blocking the southbound lane of Route 19 in the middle of the bridge. The body of the victim was then found around 7:30 yesterday morning. He's been identified as 28-year-old Michael Ray Gandy, Jr. of South Charleston. The body was sent to the state medical examiner's office. Fayetteville firefighters, sheriff's deputies, and Park Service employees were all involved in the search and recovery effort. A Raleigh County man has pleaded guilty to robbing the Whitesville State Bank branch in Crab Orchard. Earl Albert Moore of Glen Rogers now faces up to 25 years prison, as well as a $250,000 fine when he's sentenced in August. He entered his plea last Friday before U.S. District Judge David Faber. Federal grand jury in Charleston has returned an indictment against a Russian man accused of illegally transporting about 11,000 packs of cigarettes through West Virginia. Sergei Chernyansky was arrested last month during a routine traffic stop in Raleigh County after a state police trooper noticed his minivan was stuffed with cigarettes. The grand jury charged Chernyansky with knowingly shipping, transporting, and possessing about 220,000 contraband cigarettes bearing no evidence of payment of West Virginia taxes. The Secretary of State's office has fielded 10 phone calls from its toll-free hotline since it opened an election fraud unit 1 month ago. The fraud unit also has lost its chief investigator. Secretary of State Betty Ireland fired John Canterbury of Clarksburg for as yet undisclosed reasons just 2 weeks after introducing him and the unit to the public on May 2nd. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy, still a slight chance of showers. Then tonight, a chance of showers until around midnight. Then it gets foggy, but much warmer tonight with a low around 56 to 60. Tomorrow, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon, with a high near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Well, well, that political bubble that George W.'s handlers keep him in has sprung a little leak. Most surprisingly, the rupture came at an evangelical Christian college, normally assumed to be a perfectly safe haven for George. Karl Rove, the handler-in-chief, orchestrates all of Bush's appearances, so only loyal supporters are allowed in, assuring that his boy never personally encounters the unpleasant reality that a growing majority of Americans oppose his elitist, autocratic, militaristic policies. So Calvin College seemed the perfect venue for a commencement speech by W. Located in GOP-friendly Grand Rapids, Michigan, this small, theologically conservative school's graduation ceremony would seem to offer a picture-perfect audience of adoring fans from Bush's base, the Christian right wing. So, 2 months ago, Carl bumped Calvin's scheduled graduation speaker and booked Bush in the slot. Imagine Carl and George's shock, then, to be greeted by a full-page letter in the Grand Rapids Press, signed by some 800 students, faculty, and alumni protesting Bush's appearance. They pull no punches. Your deeds, Mr. President, neglecting the needy to coddle the rich, desecrating the environment, and misleading the country into war, do not exemplify the faith we live by. It also must have been unsettling for Carl and George to find graduating seniors in this audience wearing buttons declaring that God is not a Democrat or a Republican, or sporting bumper stickers on their mortarboards asking, "Who would Jesus bomb?" This is Jim Hightower saying, what Bush saw in Grand Rapids is a reality that Republicans, Democrats, and the media have ignored. Evangelical Christianity is not a monolith in lockstep with the Bushites. There is a deeply progressive, biblically based, and rapidly growing evangelical movement that separates itself from Bush. To connect to it, call Sojourners, 800-714-7474.
A message from the American Library Association and Bertie Mack about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bertie Mack. Libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magazine.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley. Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I don't know. I don't know about all of you. I am a confessed media junkie. Not, you know, I do it with my eyes wide open, but I like to analyze the kind of nuts and bolts, the bare bones of it all. Hope the cough switch worked there. I hate clearing my throat. I was listening last night, WSB out of Atlanta, you know, 50,000 watt the blowtorch, reruns Sean Hannity at midnight. Now, thank God there's nobody around here carrying that freak, so I don't have to put up with it. But, you know, to listen to what the guy has to say is just an exercise, and you can feel your IQ dropping. Now, from my standpoint, you know how the show opens. A little bit of John Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night, and then we start the show. Because I enjoy doing this. And if you get a chance, you got to hear the opening to Sean Hannity's show. Because you can tell a little something about the ego of the performer by the production around him. Now, from my standpoint here, I would rather hear from you guys than sit here and just talk. Because I like the interchange. And I like the way that the ideas come up in conversation. I do not view myself as some sort of instructor. I don't view myself as someone who is trying to change minds. I'm not. This show is here for a segment of the audience in most markets, in most, well, that's radio talk. We don't call them towns, we call them markets. In most towns, liberal people, progressive people, in other words, normal, decent people, are ignored by whether it be radio or TV. We are legion. There are more of us than there are of them. But we are ignored because somewhere along the way a paradigm has been created that says the only thing a radio station needs to do is put out a steady diet of right-wing garbage, and that's what you're supposed to do if you're doing AM radio. I disagree. And so this show was created to give voice to those who were voiceless and to actually pay attention and encourage liberal people, progressive people, decent people to patronize advertisers, to do business with people who advertise on this station, and in exchange to give them some sort of a voice, to let them have a forum, let you have a forum where you could be heard without being screamed down. So toward that end, when the show opens, you know, okay, 10, 15 seconds, and let's get going and let's talk. Because my ego's not that big. I've got an ego. I mean, I'm in radio. You can't, you know, this is not a business for people with shrinking violet mindsets. So last night I heard the opening to Sean Hannity's show. And it starts out with almost the entirety of a song by, John Kepi tells me, Martina McBride, Independence Day. And, you know, it's overdubbed with a whole bunch of yammer about, you know, it's Sean Hannity, freedom on the march, you know, stupid fascist propaganda. And then it segues out of Independence Day into the Carmina Burana. If you're familiar with the movie Excalibur, there's a scene where they're riding, some knights are riding through this field with all these flowers on these trees, and it's the dun 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 dun. Sorry, tone deaf, I guess. But that's and it's really powerful, and it's very, you know, you're ready to march on Poland by the time you're done listening to it. And it takes up like 2-3 minutes. And I'm thinking, who does this guy think he is? I mean, you give a guy a $5 million contract, and all of a sudden he doesn't. You've got to have 3, 4, 5 minutes of pure, unadulterated propaganda at the top of the show, just to make the impressionable little right wing people think that they're listening to something important. I guess they want to be lectured at. I'm not into that. And then. Jerry Doyle show that you hear here from time to time when Dr. Bill's absent. That thing opens with the guy's resume. 10 years a stock trader on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and for 350 episodes, some doggone alien on Babylon 5. So, is that designed to make me think that he is somehow more credible? What I am and what I have done in my life is of no import here. What is important here are the ideas that we discuss, the facts that we put forward, that you put forward, or that I put forward. What you do, as I've said in the past, I am not a respecter of persons. You can call in here and say, I am a brain surgeon, Bob, and I believe that there are a race of men in the trees, and we need legislation. Well, thanks for calling. I'm a very wealthy man, Bob. Well, good for you. Congratulations. But if your ideas are worthless, I don't care how much money you got. Bob, I go to church every time the door's open. Good. Glad. It doesn't add validity to your point. So, you know, I guess what I'm getting at here is pay attention. Pay attention to the egos. Pay attention to how you're manipulated. If a show takes 5 minutes of the intro to get going, that means they're scared or horribly, horribly self-congratulatory. And I've noted that you don't get that with most of the liberal talk radio. It's like what I do. Couple of minutes of music, you know, just sort of let you know where you are, and then boom, start talking. Mike Malloy does that on Air America. Randy Rhodes does that. Al Franken does that. Over on Democracy Radio, Ed Schultz does that. Not just a whole, it's not this orgy of unrestrained egoism. So, having said all that, I offer you this. This is from a couple of days ago on the New York Daily News. Question, could there be any odder couple than Rush Limbaugh and Al Sharpton? Last week, after Matrix Media announced a deal for Sharpton to host a Limbaugh of the Left-type talk radio show, the conservative radio star said he'll think about mentioning the mentoring the minister in the finer points of the medium. And I'm not, the guy writes, yesterday Sharpton contacted me to say he's eager to accept the sort of offer, as Limbaugh put it on his own show last Friday, let Sharpton guest host the program for like 30 minutes at a time while I'm sitting here critiquing him. Ooh, brother. And the producer of Limbaugh's show, says Kit Carson, assured me that Limbaugh is in earnest. What's that really all about? I'll tell you what it's really all about. It's about predetermined failure. Rush, Flush, for all his legion of faults, is this much. He's a radio guy. With the possible exception of a couple of stints selling hot dogs for the Kansas City Royals, he's been in radio. Radio is a weird business. It draws people to it, and you either love it or you hate it. And if you hate it, you get out in a hurry. And if you love it, it never actually gets completely out of your bloodstream. And what we're dealing with here, non-radio guys generally don't succeed in a talk format. So this, him mentoring Al Sharpton, letting Sharpton be on his show for 30 minutes to talk, you know, be a liberal or whatever, with Flush Flimball sitting in the background critiquing, in other words, I can't believe you would say such a dumb thing, Reverend Al. That's not the way you do it. It's a recipe for disaster. So I wish the Reverend Sharpton all the luck in the world. But, I'm not betting on a lot of success. Simply because I'm not a radio guy. And then, of course, this from, I think the Palm Beach Post found it at our buddy WD40.com's website. Bunch of good guys. Check it out. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. See, it's a joke. Talk radio host Rush Limbaugh wants to limit medical records available to Florida prosecutors investigating him for prescription drug abuse. Prescription drug abuse. See, they still don't get it. Like I said, yeah, I pay attention to the nuts and bolts of media. Prescription drug abuse. No, he wasn't abusing prescription drugs. He didn't necessarily have prescriptions for them. In some instances, he was having his maid go buy them on the street, at which point they become street drugs. At any rate, attorney Roy Black argued for the limit in Palm Beach Circuit Court on Tuesday, but Circuit Judge Jeffrey Winnikoff did not rule immediately on which of the sealed records in his possession prosecutors could see. Now, here's the fun part. Here's the reason that you can't prosecute Rush Limbaugh for illegally obtaining dangerous narcotics. Attorney Roy Black told the Miami Herald the seized records contain embarrassing details about surgery performed on intimate parts of Limbaugh's anatomy that are unrelated to the case. Now, this argument is sort of the fallback position after Limbaugh already lost the Florida Supreme Court's in their decision. They rejected his appeal to keep the record sealed so that prosecutors can't find out that he was going to every pill roller he could lay his hands on to get a fix. And then the final sentence, while Limbaugh has admitted being addicted to painkillers, he has not been charged with any crime. Addicted to painkillers? No. He is addicted to narcotics. He is addicted to drugs. He is addicted to street drugs. Killers, my left hind foot. But the part of the story that I like is that the records contain embarrassing details about surgery performed on intimate parts of Limbaugh's anatomy. I apologize. I truly apologize because you know what? I probably just gave half the listening audience nausea at the very thought of a naked Limbaugh. Even John Kepi's getting that kind of where your head goes sideways thing. But I mention this just to point out the hypocrisy of the right, because it's a doggone easy to do. Do you remember during the really big spooky hunt for Bill Clinton, when you couldn't turn on the Rush Limbaugh show without hearing yet another day's worth of commentary about Bill Clinton's anatomy and which way Paula Jones said what pointed? Remember all that? And he said, "We have got to allow, the court must allow this evidence in because it is necessary, my friends, for the administration of justice in this great republic. If we do not do that, my friends, what do we tell the children?" What's that old spiritual, that old hymn? It was good for Paul and Silas, it was good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion, that's what that is. Well, the same guy who said that people who abuse prescription painkillers should be put in prison for a very long time and then turns out to be a junkie has now, after spending years in great detailed graphic discussions of William Jefferson Clinton's anatomy, now he is crying to the court that unsealing his medical records would be improper because prosecutors would get to find out, I don't know, what kind of embarrassing surgery do you have on, what's the phrase, intimate parts of one's anatomy? See, I'm a liberal, progressive kind of guy. I think if you need surgery, it's not embarrassing. Who was it? George Brett, played for the Kansas City Royals, had hemorrhoid surgery. And people chuckled. I didn't chuckle. As far as I understand, it's a horribly, horribly painful condition. And if you can get it fixed, for God's sakes, get it fixed. Embarrassing details about surgery performed on intimate parts of Limbaugh's anatomy. See, I see the human body as the human body. And in many instances, a beautiful thing. Or, if not beautiful, just factual. It is what it is. If you have to have hernia surgery, have the hernia surgery. It's not embarrassing. If your pilonidal cyst has reopened and has hairs growing in it or something, read up on them. It just sounds pretty icky, but it is what it is, and it happens to humans. Then it's no big deal. And frankly, at $25 million a year, how embarrassed can you be? You've already admitted to being a junkie. You've had more wives than Carter has little liver pills. You may possibly, if the information is correct, have once been busted in Pittsburgh under the name Jeff Christie for homosexual pandering. How embarrassed can you be by surgery notes? Or would it be, here, you got to pay attention. Or could it be that that whole business about him having painful back condition is just an ugly little lie? And we'll find out that there never was any back surgery. I was on the golf course twice yesterday. Funny, I know a lot of guys with bad backs that can't get on the golf course once. Maybe it turns out that was all just an ugly little lie from an ugly little liar. And the only surgery he ever had that required him to take painkillers was something that he wouldn't want to talk about. You know, there are surgeries out there that can make things bigger than they appear. Could it be that? Maybe it was hemorrhoids. So what? Shall we take that as an excuse for him being above the law? Florida law, he chose to live in Florida, did he not? And Florida law says, if you're a junkie, you can't go from doctor to doctor to doctor trying to get somebody to give you more drugs. So we will wait and see exactly how this all shakes out. But rest assured, if this was a liberal or a progressive, this would have been all over the news, just like Paula Jones trying to talking about Bill Clinton's anatomy was all over the news. Tell you what, let's take our top of the hour break. Not like we have any choice. When we come back, more of your phone calls to 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. You know who I am. I ain't Rush.
This is Deborah Ray with today's Nutrition Notebook. It's an intriguing relationship. The risk of hip fracture is 2 to 4 times higher than normal after a stroke. How did the researchers connect the dots? They found that those patients who supplemented with folate and vitamin B12 supplements after a stroke also reduced their risk of hip fractures. These patients were targeting homocysteine, a blood marker. It is well known that when this amino acid homocysteine is elevated, the risk of stroke and bone fractures is elevated too. Homocysteine is known to interfere with collagen cross-linking, which is crucial for strong bones. High homocysteine levels are also associated with an increased risk of heart disease and dementia. Those in the study used 5 milligrams of folic acid plus 1,500 milligrams of vitamin B12. Their risk of hip fracture was decreased by a factor of 5 over 2 years. So take your B vitamins for your heart and your bones. Well, that's today's Nutrition Notebook. For more nutrition news, log on to HealthyTalkRadio.com.
Do you reach for a pill when you suffer pain? Next time, try the O24 Essential Oil Pain Neutralizer. Just rub O24 on your aches and pains and feel the magic. O24 works in minutes and brings pain relief for hours. A soothing blend of essential oils with no added chemicals, the U.S. patented O24 uses nature's finest and doesn't interfere with your prescription medicine. If you suffer from chronic pains like arthritis or backaches, go to your local Rite Aid Pharmacy today and get O24. Order direct 877-794-7633.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, the Bedonis Talk 620 WWNR. Beckley, it's 9 o'clock.
Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One card travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Showers and a slight chance of a thunderstorm through the overnight, with a low eventually around 55. Mainly cloudy for tomorrow. It will be warmer, though, as we get up into the mid-70s with a light and variable wind. Sunday's weather, intervals of sun and clouds return, with clouds more prolific during the day with a high of 76, and we'll hold in a chance of thunderstorms come Monday.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. Here's Bob Kincaid. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9. Just as an update or a follow-up, I have been informed that song, Independence Day, that we were talking about leading into the Hannity program, that doofus apparently thinks it's about America. Because there's a chorus that says, "Let freedom ring, let the white dove sing, let the whole world know that today is the day of a reckoning." You know, and you're bomb them brown people, it's a day of reckoning. Yeah, you go, Sean Hannity. And I don't listen to country much, so I wouldn't know, but I got the lyrics here in front of me. Thank you, John. "Well, she seemed all right by dawn's early light, though she looked a little worried and weak. She tried to pretend he wasn't drinking again, but Daddy left the proof on her cheek. Word gets around in a small, small town. They said he was a dangerous man, but Mama was proud, and she stood her ground. She knew she was on the losing end. Some folks whispered, some folks talked, but everybody looked the other way. And when time ran out, there was no one about on Independence Day." And she goes on to, what, burn the house down? With him in it. And so Sean Hannity is using this as a song about America. You know, the other night when Rick Goodner was on the program and he said that he had distance IQ evaluated Sean Hannity at about 102, I can buy that now. Because the irony is about hip deep at this point. He's using an intro song about a guy who beats up women as an example of how great America is. So, has somebody mentioned this to dear Sean? Let's go to the phones. Ben's been waiting. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
You know, it may not have been the Colonial Fest.
Really?
Well, you know, there's a very interesting web page with graphics that you shouldn't let the kids look at. That's a summary of medical procedures with x-rays to show what was done, called Rectal Foreign Bodies. If you just search that on Google, you'll find this page.
Okay.
And people who are bent the way that Rush Limbaugh may be bent tend to do things with large objects that maybe they shouldn't have to oughtn't to do.
You.
Now, that's just speculation, of
sure.
course.
Well,
but,
you know,
when you talk about an intimate portion of somebody's anatomy and something that would be embarrassing, I just really can't think that Palondial cyst really rises to that bar.
I know.
I mean, that's just, you know, that's a big old pimple.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, that's...
On your backside, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the reason, you know, but, you know, those can be closed surgically and permanently.
But apparently it was enough to keep him out of Vietnam, Ben.
Well, yeah, even though, you know, you could have taken care of it then, too.
Right.
And the Army used to take care of that for people.
Huh.
You know, I mean, because it's a very minor surgery,
But if your dad's a wealthy lawyer in Southeast Missouri...
Right. Yeah, there are different rules that apply to the rich, and there always have been.
Sure.
Okay, you know, it comes down to the fact that Rush Limbaugh made a very rational decision that going to Vietnam was not a good idea.
Yeah.
I'd have made the same decision.
As would I.
You know, I mean, I'd have gone if I had to.
Yeah,
they said, Ben, you're going to go.
But the point here is he made a rational decision, and it's like George Bush, Ben. They both made rational decisions that they didn't want their lily white butts going to Vietnam, but to turn around and say, you know, yeah, I'm all for war as long as somebody else is fighting it, you know, then you become a hypocrite.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think that must be his middle name these days. But no, I mean, I think Rush Limbaugh probably had something else occur, and it was probably having to do with, you know, some habit of his, and that's why he doesn't want it known.
Yeah, some sort of peccadillo, perhaps.
Yeah.
Of course, the thought occurs to me. I saw when I went to WD40.com, somebody had posted a comment about this story and said it was surgery to remove his head.
you mean his cranial rectal dislocation?
Precisely.
Yeah.
But apparently, if that was the case, the surgery failed.
Yeah, it would seem to. Well, the trouble is with cases like that there's such a strong bending moment that it shoves itself back in pretty quickly to remove the braces.
Oh, God. But, you know, he's still a junkie.
He's still a junkie.
And, you know, I'm for, you know, the study after study says that treatment and counseling is a much better solution to America's so-called drug problem than incarcerating them where they're going to get all kinds of weird stuff and then they're going to get master's degrees in criminality.
Exactly. Well, the thing, though, you know, we're not talking about Rush just using drugs.
No.
If you look at the quantity of OxyContin and other things that he was buying, there's really no way that a single person could have taken that much and not die.
I tried that theory out because there was a list of the prescriptions he had gotten and the quantities.
Right.
And I have a friend who was injured. He was run over
right.
by a drunk driver. He was, you know, on foot. She was in the automobile, and she ran him over and screwed his back up royally. And as a function of getting through that injury, well, he came out of the injury with a nice little monkey on his back.
Right.
You know, he used to describe OxyContin. He said, well, as far as I'm concerned, Bob, you need to chew them up to get that refreshing burst of flavor. And he said, when I showed him the list, and I mean, this guy had a monkey. Worked, I mean, had been through rehab, the works, litigation, you know. And I showed him the list of what Rush was getting, and he said, he can't humanly, I'm a junkie. You couldn't humanly take that much. That is possession with intent to deliver.
Exactly
that,
right.
That is part, that's being a pusher. That's being a dealer.
Now understand that if the rumors that Rush is bisexual or gay are true, that Oxy is a very, very, very popular drug in certain circles in the gay community.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there are two right now that seem to be the thing: OxyContin and methamphetamine.
Oh, man.
Ups and downs.
Sure. Sort of a John Belushi memorial speedball.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, well, that then it all kind of falls into place, doesn't it?
And, you know, if he was trying to keep boy happy.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, the guys at the club.
Yep. He has never denied the Pittsburgh incident.
Really?
Never.
I didn't know he had addressed it.
Well, he's been asked. He wouldn't comment.
But not denied.
Right.
And there are even sites you can go to. You can hear his early work as Jeff Christie on whatever that Pittsburgh station was.
KQV, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And
1410.
He actually sounds, most of the stuff he still uses, most of his shtick that he uses, you know, with my brain tied behind my back, all that stuff, talent on loan from God, he was doing in the early 70s as a, you know, hot hit, you know, beautiful music jock or whatever it was he was.
Well, I have friends who were there at the time, who were at UPitt there.
Yeah.
And definitely, whether or not it really happened, the rumor flew around that place that it had happened.
Because he was, and this is all pre-Rush, but he was a listened-to commodity as Jeff Christie.
Correct. Correct. Everyone knew who listened to AM radio knew who Jeff Christie was. And when this happened, it was like, you know, titter, 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 he, he, he.
Yeah.
And later I talked to somebody who was from radio, or it was a small market radio station in Virginia, and he said, oh, yeah, months later I heard that around the water cooler. Everyone was laughing about it.
Well, and of course, you know, the
this was before anyone would have had any political reason,
right,
to want to trash the guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is before he went and sold hot dogs for the Kansas City Royals.
Right.
Before Anaheim, Sacramento, wherever it was, he was, exactly.
Right.
And you know, again, I got no problem with what people want to do in the privacy of their bedroom with another consenting adult.
No, nor do I. But when they're hypocrites, if he's a hypocrite on this issue, well, that's pretty rude.
Yeah, it's the mayor of Spokane thing all over again, Jim West.
Yeah.
You know, this guy trolls gay sites for little boys that he can mold into his perfect little love slaves, and goes to the Washington legislature and votes against gay people in legislation.
Well, of course, because you have, if you're closeted like that, you have to have a 100% anti-gay voting record, or somebody might suss you out.
And that's just sad.
It really is, and it speaks to a lot of the prejudices that we build into our society, and which is even, are even built into our language.
Well, can we even begin to comprehend, these people who say, you know, people choose to be gay, and we're learning more and more that, they, of course, they don't. Who in their right mind would choose to be, to be anathema to an entire society? Why would you choose that?
Only extreme masochism would be the only reason I could think of.
And that's at a level that's almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would be like being in Germany in 1935 and deciding that you were going to change your name to Feinstein and live as a Jew.
Yeah, it, on that level. And so if they weren't so loathsome, these people who do these hateful things, you would almost be engendered to feel a level of pity for someone so closeted and so filled with self-hate. What a hell of a life.
It had to have been a hell of a life, and I think he's by continuing to perpetuate, you know, his defense of, no, none of this is true, he's just bringing more hell down upon himself. The guy needs to come clean and do whatever time he needs to do for having violated his office.
Yeah, and as far as Rush is concerned, it's like Jim said the other night, let the last plague be out of Pharaoh's own mouth. This is the guy who said that junkies need to be in prison, not in rehab. Now, he's been to rehab. It's time for some prison.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound to me like the rehab took.
Well, all that chatting with the horses and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know, you know, I've known junkies. You know, I've known real junkies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't just get off it. You don't just get off it and not backslide.
Yeah, six weeks at Betty Ford is not necessarily going to clean you up. And even the staunchest advocate at AA or NA or whatever will tell you that at best they have, what, maybe a 30% success rate? And that's with people who are at the meetings every day for years on end.
Oh, yeah. Well, the people who actually continue to comply, about 30%. The people who join the program coming in front and coming into NA or AA, 3%.
Yeah.
I mean, come right down to it. The NA and AA, although they might help a tiny number of people, there's really no evidence that they actually do anything remarkable that good psychotherapy and an inpatient stay wouldn't do.
Right. So, but you know, again, flipping across the channels the other night, you know, there sits falafel boy Bill O'Reilly.
And, well, you know, he managed to get that tape, you know, burned.
Yeah, but not before it got out there. Not before the transcripts got out there.
Nope.
Everybody knows what he did. Everybody knows what a lech and a sicko he is. You know. But the thing is, it's that double standard that I keep addressing myself to, Ben. If you are a liberal or a progressive and you get caught in something like that, you know, get a rope.
That's right. Well, look at poor Gary Hart.
Right. Or and look at the guy who was hounded to death, wrote for the Sacramento Bee, and exposed the whole CIA cocaine connection in
oh, yeah,
South Central LA.
Oh yeah, CIA guy. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Driven to suicide.
Yep.
And the list goes on and on and on, and you know. Despite the fact that we've got a president who came into the Oval Office, first man ever to bring a criminal record to the Oval Office for DUI and God knows what else.
I can pretty much tell you what else.
Yeah, cocaine.
Yeah.
But we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten about the fact that his lovely wife literally killed her boyfriend as a teenager in a car crash.
Yep.
And
a boyfriend that she had had a very acrimonious breaking up with.
Precisely.
And which she had every reason to hate.
And yet, if you mention the name of Ted Kennedy, and what's the next word out of a right-winger's mouth, Ben?
Chappaquiddick. Yep. Well, you know, and Laura Bush was, you know, this isn't Kitty Kelly's book. Laura Bush was known as Dimebag Laura because she used to drive down to Mexico and come back with weed for her friends.
Yeah, what, at SMU?
Was yep.
It? Yeah. And, yeah, she was the go-to girl.
Yep.
I don't understand this. Am I oversimplifying, you know, this idea that, well, you know, if you say, well, Jesus took care of all that, then you're automatically clear?
No, you see, it's like this. They are members of the party. Okay? This is the Fourth Reich we are looking at here. If you're a party member, you can do no wrong, literally, until you piss off the party, at which point you're going to be in a world of trouble.
Yeah, at which point you get Ernst Rohmed.
Yes. Well,
that amazes me. And yet, I guess it's a good thing that we're not like that as Democrats or as liberals or progressives, Greens, that kind of thing. But it's hard to confront, and it's hard to defeat.
It is. You know, we're our own worst critics.
Sure.
And that's part of the reason that, you know, that we can't acquire the kind of propaganda traction that they've got on the right, because we can't stick to a single message, because somebody starts drumming on a message, and somebody says, hold it. Is that right? Are you sure? Nobody on the right ever asks that question.
No, and everything is, well, it's Dan Rather all over again.
Precisely.
And what you get next? Have you seen the growing firestorm, Ben, about Harry Reid's comments in Rolling Stone?
No, I haven't. I missed that.
He gave an interview to Rolling Stone. The interviewer said, you called George Bush a loser, and you apologized for it. And he said, I absolutely did, but you didn't catch me apologizing for calling him a liar.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And that will go around the world in about a minute. And how dare he call the president of America a liar?
Well, I'll do it too. George W. Bush is a liar and a yellow dog. He is absolutely, positively the most cowardly man I have ever seen in my entire life.
And he's making us a coward nation.
Yes, he is.
And a bully nation.
Yeah. Cowards are always bullies.
Right. It's like what I heard coming out of O'Reilly the other day. He was talking about the Rainbow Party. I mentioned this before. Some sort of thing that allegedly teenagers are doing now. It's sexual in nature. And at the end of it, he said, now, you understand the role that Bill Clinton played in this. So if Bill Clinton is responsible for every incident of teenage oral sex, then when people bully other people, then by definition, George Bush has to be part of that mix too, doesn't he?
God, you mean all those years ago when I was in high school, Bill Clinton was responsible for that?
I suppose so. You know.
Oh my goodness! I even know a couple of my old girlfriends from back then. I'm going to have to tell them that it was really all Bill's fault.
Well, and for God's sakes, Ben, Bill gets a thank you note.
Well, yeah.
Oh my God!
I was certainly grateful at the time, anyway.
And fondly remembered.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's going to make it worthwhile to be 90 years old in the nursing home, looking back on all of this.
You only regret the things you didn't do.
Right.
You take care, sir.
Have a good one, Ben.
Bye.
Bye. Now, a president reflects, or a society reflects its leadership, right? Because, again, we know, we've been told by the experts, Neil Bortz, Sean Hannity, any teenager who has oral sex, it's Bill Clinton's fault. Well, down in Holly Hill, Florida, Christopher Scamahorn, he's 14, and Jeffrey Spurgeon, he's 18, they were bored. They were looking for some fun. They needed something to do. These fine, young, upstanding children from a red state, from the reddest of red states, Florida. You know how it is when you're 18 and your 14-year-old buddy's with you, and you... What are we going to do today? Oh, I don't know. Play kick the can? Nah. Well, you want to go play video games? Nah, we played them all. We got to the end. I can't stand another round of Ghost Recon. That's enough. Well, you want to go down to the 7-Eleven and get a squishy? Nah. Man, what do you want to do? Well, they found a homeless man in the woods and beat and kicked him to death to have something to do. They've confessed to beating a 53-year-old man whose identity has yet to be established with their fists, and they beat him with sticks, and they kicked him. They said they attacked him for fun, to have something to do. They went back to the woods three times after the initial attack to beat the man again. The victim was found last Saturday. The condition of the body indicated he'd been dead for several days. An autopsy determined that the man died from blunt force trauma to the head and body. They're still trying to find his next of kin. He was a homeless guy living in the woods. Found his pleasure in the bottom of a bottle whenever he could get his hands on one. And thus, a nation that attacks other countries that has done them no harm breeds children who find old winos who have done them no harm and beats and kicks him to death.
Well, my friends, he was a homeless man. Why was he not participating in the great free market economy that is the United States of America?
Never mind God bless America. Get busy with the God forgive America. Because there's more of this on the way. More and more and more. Preachers who are band teachers in school that grope their students. Serial killers in Kansas that are at the polls every time they're open to vote for whatever Republican is coming down the pike. And quietly slaughtering neighborhoods. Bored teenage boys in Jeb Bush's freewheeling, gun-slinging Florida, stomping the guts out of an old man whose only crime was being an alcoholic, broke, and homeless. I can't stomach the welfare state. Why do we need to spend taxpayer dollars on homeless shelters? Here's why we need to pay taxpayer on homeless shelters. So little 14-year-old punks can't go stomp the life out of a human being for being handy because they're bored. Well, let's take our bottom of the hour break. If you want to sing God Bless America, feel free. I'm Bob. This is Head On.
There's a tornado or there's a forest fire. Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
There's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
When disaster strikes, the one volunteer force.
Helping in the check. He's simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol. The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. Join and call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A former Logan County court bailiff who admitted he lied to the FBI two times during an investigation of a former magistrate has now been sentenced to 6 months in prison. John Wesley Nagy pleaded guilty in March in U.S. District Court to lying to a federal agent. He was also ordered Thursday to pay a $1,000 fine and serve 3 years supervised release when he's out of prison. Two Raleigh County men have been charged with ripping off money from Beckley soft drink machines. Teddy Gill and Cameron Jones of Coal City are charged with two felony counts of destruction of property, four misdemeanor counts of destruction of property, and six counts of petty larceny. The two are charged with stealing a total of $765 and damaging soft drink machines in the greater Beckley area. Gill is being held in the Southern Regional Jail on $25,000. Jones remains at large. Anyone with information on his whereabouts should call Beckley Police, 256-1708, or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. Base closure officials have changed their minds about not visiting the 130th Airlift Wing in Charleston. That, according to Senator Byrd, Byrd says he persuaded Anthony Principi, who's chairman of the Base Realignment and Closure Commission, commonly known as BRAC, that analysts should tour the West Virginia National Guard base before its C-130 airplanes are relocated. The proposal would strip the 130th of its eight C-130s and transfer them to Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina as part of a national plan to close 33 major bases and downsize 29 others. While BRAC analysts will visit the facility in June, other bases have been toured by higher-level commissions, and Byrd is lobbying Principi and other commissioners to join that tour. Here's the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy, still a chance of showers. Chance of showers still around midnight tonight. Then it becomes a little foggy in some areas. Temperatures not quite as chilly, low tonight near 56 to 60. And then for Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon, but much warmer tomorrow and more humid, too. Tomorrow's high near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
This is Mercedes-Benz lead to win the J.D. Power Quality Survey to some cars in the U.S. Well, maybe. We'll be right back with all the details. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Jack Murad. Every week, Mike and I help millions of listeners make the right choices when it comes to their cars and trucks. It's not often that we come across a product so unique and beneficial that we give it the America on the Road seal of approval. Now we're excited about MotorSilk. MotorSilk is patented by the U.S. Department of Energy to save gas. Independent laboratory tests prove MotorSilk reduces friction by 80%. Less friction means you save gas up to 20% or more. Used for over 10 years by the military, government, and professional lubrication engineers, MotorSilk is a one-time treatment for engine, transmission, and fuel system. It outperforms all oils and additives for peak performance and protection. Get longer engine life and more power with MotorSilk, a must-buy for every car owner. Call 1-866-LESS-FUEL. That's 1-866-LESS-FUEL. Or go to evergreenamerica.com. Evergreenamerica.com and ask for your free 24-page catalog. 1-866-LESS-FUEL. 1-866-LESS-FUEL.
This is Mike Manson. Mercedes-Benz is debating whether to abandon in this way that's its first and its prestigious J.D. Power & Associates Car Quality Survey. This according to comments by Mercedes Chief Effort Cordes. We are carefully analyzing whether that is a reasonable goal or not. Then we will answer the question once we've finished our analysis, he said. The premium Mercedes-Benz brand has been pulling out all the stops to address quality problems that have damaged its elegant image and raised doubts about its stated goal of topping the J.D. Power U.S. survey of initial quality in new cars by 2006.
This is Jack Hurad. According to Cordes, the power study involves both vehicle quality and American taste. A car's ratings may be marked down, for instance, if buyers feel they have too many functional buttons on the steering wheel. With a global car, is it advisable to strive for number one in the power study and risk sales in other countries? We're still debating this, Cordes said. Are we better off with number two or number three? That is still open. In the J.D. Power 2004 initial quality survey of auto nameplates, Mercedes-Benz ranked number 10 with 106 problems per 100 vehicles, while Lexus, with only 87 problems, was number one in the study.
We have more next time on America on the Road from CBS.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, about 24 minutes left in tonight's Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hope you're having as much fun as I did. I am. Are these just isolated incidents? Teenagers who stomp the life out of a person just for, you know, being poor, being drunk, being homeless. Is this what we were, are these those traditional Republican family values that we hear so much about? Well, of course not, Bob. Well, it's the culture you're creating, wingers. Welcome to it. It goes on and on and on. You remember a few days ago, I read you that list about, you know, you may be brainwashed by the corporate media if you blah, blah. Here's proof. A few days ago, I played you that soundbite of George Bush saying, disassemble instead of dissemble. Here's the quote. It seemed to me like they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been trained in some instances to disassemble. That means not tell the truth. And of course, I went on and explained, you know, what the idiot was trying to say was dissemble, which means to lie, which he was doing. Well, further proof that there is no such thing as liberal media. Our buddy Brad Friedman from bradblog.com posted this. Here's your liberal bias. Mark Silva in the Chicago Tribune wrote it up as follows. Bush said that, quote, it seemed like to me Amnesty International based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been, trained in some instances to dissemble. That means not tell the truth. And so it was an absurd report. Now, you heard the soundbite here. You heard it come out of President Chimpanzee's mouth. He said, disassemble. Well, the liberal media fixed it for him and made it dissemble. Liberal media. William Douglas for Knight Ridder Newspapers said, he quoted it this way, it seemed to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been trained in some instances to dissemble. That means not tell the truth, Bush said. So he fixed it for George, too. It couldn't be any more clear if you listened to the soundbite that what he said was disassemble. Just like he said strategery, just like he said put food on your family, just like he said catapult the propaganda. He says this stuff. Your president does, you wingnuts. But the liberal media, I still chuckle when I think of that, liberal media. Yeah, the liberal media that couldn't go a day without publishing a news story about Bill Clinton's sex life. Couldn't go a day without publishing some new bizarre allegation. Bill Clinton has illegitimate half-black child in Arkansas. The liberal media. Finley Lewis. John, can you call that soundbite up real quick? DISA, I think is what it was. Is it there? Okay. Just in case, because I've been called upon to provide my sources. Here is the source. The President
of
the States of America.
You know, the detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been trained in some instances to disassemble. That means not tell the truth. And so it was an absurd report. It just is. And
okay. That couldn't be any more clear. He says disassemble. Now, my question for you is, does a free press owe a duty to the citizens of the United States of America not to cover up mistakes made by its president? If you have a free press, it doesn't do that. If, on the other hand, you have a captive gang of boot-licking, lick-spittle lapdogs, well, that's what they do. Finley Lewis for Copley News Service, he didn't even, he or she, I don't know, didn't even want to fool around with it. People who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that had been trained in some instances to not tell the truth. So he didn't change it to dissemble. He didn't leave it at disassemble. He didn't give the entire quote. He just made it sound like Bush said, trained in some instances to not tell the truth. And then over at Voice of America, woo, Scott Stearns. He says it seems like some of the amnesty report is based on the word of people who hate America and have been trained to lie. Is that a free press? Is it? No. And in the midst of all this blather about Deep Throat, Mark Felt, who has been called a traitor now more times than one can count by the right-wing freaks. If you know the history of the Watergate affair, you know that the Washington Post, the New York Times, the so-called mainstream media, had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the story. It was such a low-level piece of junk, it was deemed by Ben Bradley at the Washington Post, that he assigned two cub reporters, journalistically speaking, you know, just days up from the writing obituaries department. Put Woodward and Bernstein on it. This is nothing. It's a little low-rent crime. So what? Somebody busted into Democratic headquarters. So what? And back then, when they were young and poor, and maybe hungry, hoping for journalistic glory, they got hold of the story and they worked it. They did what journalists are supposed to do. And they were fought. Read the book. Read All the President's Men. They were fought tooth and nail the entire way. And threats were made against Catherine Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post. And the New York Times avoided the story like the plague, but the story wouldn't go away. Liberal media. Got to wonder how simple you have to be to believe in that. And then along comes Iran-Contra. And the liberal media laid down and died on that one. Robert Perry, whose work you can read at consortiumnews.com, one of the better journalists in America today. Robert Perry broke Iran-Contra. And for his troubles, he was canned. But he is the man who uncovered Iran-Contra. And, of course, while there were hearings, everyone was scared to death. He was scared to death to mount any kind of serious charge against Ronnie Reagan, because the perception was that America couldn't stand the strain or the crisis. Great email from our buddy David in Tennessee. Subject: kids killing those that the right has told us for years are at fault, not worth the effort, need to work or starve, so why not get some fun out of them before they starve to death? They were there for the right to watch die anyway. Yeah. These are ciphers. These are people who don't... The story out of beautiful, godly American Florida. People talk about the First Amendment being under attack. It may be, but that's the thing. Government's not going to do anything so overt and ham-fisted as to tell people what they can or cannot write. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they did. Newsweek. Now, what they'll do is they'll just make it politely understood to media, as they have for years, that those organizations, it's in their best interest to play the game. So you don't have to abridge free speech. You just buy it and make it go away. Thank God for the Internet. Thank God for foreign newspapers. Thank God for The Guardian. Asia Times, wonderful paper. Sydney Morning Herald, good paper. And a few out there from time to time. The Minneapolis Star Tribune has actually come out and said George Bush is a liar. And they have printed the Downing Street memo. Good for them. Let's go to the phones before I yammer away the half hour. Mel is with us. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
How you doing tonight, Bob?
Doing all right.
Sounds like you are. I was just going to call in real quick, and I heard your conversation there a while ago with Kyle.
Yeah.
And, I hope this so-called liberal media, I had a preacher. I mean, here we go again. I had a preacher get up and start and talk about the liberal press, and that turns me off real fast because we all know how liberal it is. That's a joke.
Right. It's just a lie.
But I think it was about 49% of us didn't vote for Bush, wasn't it, or somewhere right in that vicinity?
Yeah, of those of us who bothered to go vote.
Well, right. But you know what? Still, there was 49% of us that, we really don't care about having to listen to all their side. Bill Maher, you were talking about people calling in there and putting pressure on your station there, to get you off and stuff. My Lord, I would hope that station would never fall to anything that low. I enjoy to some degree listening to all three programs, and I have learned a little bit from all three programs. I've learned a lot from yours. It kind of keeps me up on sometimes I can't, I can't read and get the news like I should, and I can find out what's going on, you know, and it's what I want. I reckon I can say it like this. I reckon I am somewhat biased. I'll admit it. You know, I've got my views because of my 56 years I've been here on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain things I want to hear about. And I would hope that they would never take that away from me. And, like I said, Bill Maher, they screwed with us on that. I used to like to watch him and his views.
Yeah, when he was on ABC.
Right. Took him off ABC. Now they're screwing with him on HBO.
Yeah, because you've got this, bizarre right-wing Republican freak congressman calling for him to be censored and shut up because he said something that he didn't like.
Well, you know, the public broadcasting, they're starting to, the liberal press, as they call it, is starting to attack that now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they show documentaries and stuff that people would stay up and watch and show you the real history of what happened here in America and how people bled and died for what we're giving away, you know, like you were talking about, our due process and all that a while ago with the insurance companies and stuff that we're just laying down, playing dead, and letting them take it, and we're out so busy making a living that was, we're just letting stuff happen. But now they're trying to control the public broadcasting, and we already know what kind of president we got. You got to be screened before you go to his town meetings. You can't protest him unless they put you behind a fence and, the cameras won't show you. We know what kind of president they can't show any caskets returning from Iraq. So.
You got to sign a loyalty oath to go to one of his little crusades.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, people that would call in there and threaten the station, business-wise or otherwise, to take almost half of the people, like I said, aren't buying what Bush is selling, and I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that they owe me too. And I feel like that they're even though your power gets cut down pretty quick, I enjoy your programs, like I do some of the others. Like I said a while ago, I learn from even the morning ones. Some of it I learn through negative. And, but I still learn, but me and someone was listening the other day and they said, well, why are you listening to those programs? And I said, you know what? I enjoy them. I enjoy hearing people's views. Some of them I agree with, some of them I don't. I don't believe in doing like whoever done Kyle like that. I believe in facing off and squaring up and, and saying what you think to each other. But, I told him, I said, you know what, I can think of one thing that, matter of fact, I believe it was Michelle. I never would join the NRA because of, they wanted everybody to have an Uzi. And then she explained to everybody the reason they put that in there probably was because if you ever have to rise against the government, maybe everybody ought to have a semi-automatic gun. You know, and it made me think a little bit more. I'm not saying I completely agree with that, but at least, it opened my views up, and like I said, it may even change them a little bit. So I think that all the programming there on your all station is good. I think it's fair right now. And I think, I think Dr. Bill's he's kind of in the middle.
Right.
I reckon compared to you and Steve. And like I said, I really think a lot of NR. And,
well, I love the balance that's here, Mel, and I think it's forward thinking to try to address issues for all the political spectrum. And we start hard right in the morning, and we move back across the political spectrum until we've covered it all. And I think that is. That's enlightened as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the way I feel, and I've always said I believe that the media is what keeps this a free country. And I think different people's opinions, like I said a while ago, I think that's what it's all about. And sure, I get mad and aggravated sometimes, but that's what it's about too. And people don't like what I say, and the host handle it different. Some of them shout you off the air, and you know, I might get a little jacked out of shape and not call back in for a while. But eventually, you know, I start listening a little bit again, and then I want to put my 2 cents in, and that's what it's all about. Your two and my two, you know, may end up equaling something. And but I agree with you. It starts out, you know, fairly conservative there in the morning. Then, you know, then I turn it off and Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Rush comes on there. I said a long time ago when they found he was taking those drugs, I said, you know, I knew a guy had to have something wrong with his head to come up some of the crap he comes up with, and to me that's what it is, but that's just my opinion. But you're right, then it moderately, you know, changes through Dr. Bill. I think he can have views either way, and then at nighttime it's our fair share.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it. And like I said, I hope to Lord that's the way Southern Communications looks at it. And they would never be intimidated by business or threats or anything else like that.
Well, you know, this station is unlike any other talk station in the state of West Virginia and a lot of other states because of the fact of the balance that does exist here. You can't find that at another station.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think, really, you know, I'll be traveling, and, I got XM radio, and, you know, you can go to the right or the left.
Right.
But you either take one or the other, and most stations are like that. They don't give that broad of a view like that. And I really think that Southern Communications to be commended on the job that they're doing here in Southern West Virginia, you know, for... Like you said, being unique in the respect that they kind of catch the whole, you know, the whole deal.
Right.
And I appreciate it. And like I said, I would hope that they would continue to, you know, my Lord, don't take that from us. That's what I said. You know, I don't care to listen to some of the other stuff, and I enjoy listening to some of it, but, you know, give us an opportunity to give our side too, and that's being fair.
Well, it's kind of America, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I hope it is. That's the old America anyway. But you know, now, like I said, when they can push people around and show sides and show us what they want to show us, and that's leading to something we don't want to see here in America. And I just always hope and pray that. You know, I've always given, like I said before, not to repeat myself, but I've always given the media the respect and I admire the media for keeping us a free country. And then the way they're keeping it a free country is me talking on this radio station right now. But I was just wanting to throw that in, Bob.
And, well, I appreciate it,
man. I appreciate the job you do there. And like I said, I appreciate Southern Communications and the NR. And I would hope that they'd... respect our wants and needs too, and like I said, you know, there's
business involved too, Mel. I mean, like I said, liberals and Democrats buy things too.
Well, you know, I reckon I'm a progressive or a liberal or whatever you want to tag me, but I didn't vote for Bush, and I don't want to hear their side all the time. I listen some, and I do buy. And, I may do some business there come next election.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, I may not.
I know. You know, it's too early to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Sure, but, exactly. Hey, you have yourself a good weekend.
Okay, well, Bob.
Any big plans or anything?
I probably run out of state here for a couple of days and take care of a little stuff and get back in here.
Yeah,
we
got some Little League going tomorrow, so that'll be fun. Well, you have yourself a great weekend, whatever you do,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, yeah, I was going to tell you, dust those tomatoes with something with copper in them and keep some of that blight off
right.
of them during this rain.
Yeah, like that copper dragon.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good talk to you.
All right, take care, Mel.
Bye.
Bye now. Great show tonight, everybody. Thanks for all who participated. Appreciate it. You're making an awesome, awesome job. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part.